And welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We're focusing on the world of the arts and artists on today's program. One of the prize collections at the St. Louis Art Museum is that of 20th century German artist Max Beckmann. He has a significant St. Louis connection. Beckmann's the subject of a new book, and author Lynette Roth will be with us in a couple of moments. But first, next Monday, one of the pillars of the local arts community will be honored by the Arts and Education Council of St. Louis. Agnes Wilcox will receive a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Council's Arts Awards program. She's being cited for her many years as an activist, professor, actor, and director, and specifically for her work with prison performing arts and new theater. Agnes Wilcox joins me in studio. So nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's quite an achievement, a Lifetime Achievement Award.
I think it means I'm old.
No, it doesn't. It means you're young at heart and have many, many years to continue doing what you want to do best. What does it mean to you?
It means that I owe so many people so much, whether it was the people with whom I was working or the people I was working beside or the people who supported my work in so many ways. I owe this community big time.
Talk about for a moment the arts community, now that you've raised that term. What makes St. Louis so special? And it is special in terms of what its arts repertoire, if you will.
I think the artists in St. Louis are incredibly adventurous. I think the audience at times is less adventurous. But Leonard Slatkin certainly opened the world of new music to us. And David Robertson is continuing that tradition. And I think it's very important that major facilities have that sense of, yes, you don't know this, but boy, are you going to love it. I see that at the Pulitzer, at the Contemporary. St. Louis is full of adventurous artists.
How do you see your role in all of this? And we're going back a couple of decades, I have to say. How do you see your role?
When I moved here, I was very disappointed. I had moved here from New York, and every show that was being offered, I had seen when I was living in the city. And I thought, there's a lot out there that hasn't made it big, that hasn't played the regional theaters. Why don't we produce crazy contemporary stuff written by young people and exploring new ideas?
You know, it's interesting you say that because I've been here for a long time. And it seems to me in the early days in the 70s, like every year, the Muni would be showing No, No, Nanette or something just like that. And it'd be back again the next year, a couple of years later.
Right.
Well, who is responsible for bringing, you mentioned the maestros, if you will, and the role that they've played, but who is responsible for upgrading, if I can use that term?
I think the Regional Arts Commission has had an enormous effect on the community. They began the same year that the New Theater did, and they trusted a lot of people who didn't have a track record, as we didn't. And yet we proved to them and grew and used their money wisely and made a difference in the community. They have been leaders in so many ways.
We had Jill McGuire on several times, but just before her retirement, talking about the economic input of the arts community here. And I was stunned at how much money is generated by the arts. I suppose I shouldn't have been, but fact of the matter is many, many millions of dollars come into this community.
Yes. Although I am loath to use that defense of the arts, I think the arts are in and of themselves so important to the community. We're not fully human until we participate in the arts.
When we talk about the arts, what are we talking about?
For me, it ranges from literature to through all the performing arts and visual arts. So my view of the arts is very broad.
You know, we had guests on yesterday, the publishers or editors, I should say, of three literary magazines. And once again, I've been here a while. I was really surprised that we have three literary magazines here. And that really speaks to St. Louis's history and tradition in the literary world.
Absolutely.
The literary world.
And we get to see famous writers every year, whether they're at Left Bank Books or they're receiving the St. Louis Literary Award. We have access.
They mentioned, all of them, that Joyce Carol Oates, who is no slouch when it comes to being a successful author, has been very heavily involved with these magazines in St. Louis. Who would have thought that?
Well, she went to the University of Wisconsin. that has a great effect on people.
Well, you speak like you might have some association with the University of Wisconsin.
That is true.
Let's talk a little bit about the project that many people associate you with, and that is your prison project. You've pulled back from that now. You're going to be involved, but not as heavily involved as before. For people who aren't familiar with it, tell us what that's all about and how it works.
The programs of Prison Performing Arts serve adults and young people. We are in St. Louis City Juvenile Detention Center, the St. Louis Regional Youth Center, and we are part of the diversion program that Judge Jimmy Edwards established. In adult prisons, we serve three institutions. The one at Pacific, which is where we began because it's close, and then Bowling Green and Vandalia. So it's two men's prison and a women's prison.
And you're working with prisoners who are not there because of traffic violations.
Correct. I think that working with medium to high-level prison inmates makes for a very stable activity because they're there for a while. Mm-hmm. And many of them are older, and they've figured out how they screwed up, and they're changing their lives. We are sort of an accessory to that fact.
In you say you work with them. Let's be more specific, again, for people who aren't familiar with it. Working with them in what way?
When I was at PPA, I directed plays and taught theater at Bowling Green and Vandalia. And occasionally would work at Pacific developing plays with the inmates. So our focus with the adults has been theater, but we've always wanted to grow. And I hope under our new artistic director that Chris Limber will be able to expand more into dance and music.
What kind of material have you up to now been working with? I mean, are they plays that we would be familiar with?
Yes. We began with Hamlet, and I ended my career with Hamlet. Mm-hmm. It's a play I'm crazy about. The last production I directed, I worked with Dr. Elizabeth Charlebois from St. Mary's College of Maryland. She was with us on her sabbatical, and she and I decided to help the men create a hip-hop Hamlet. And it was stunning. She is a fine, fine scholar and made such a difference in our work. I have submitted the script to Dramatist Play Service, and I have hope that they will pick it up and publish it so other people can perform it.
How receptive and responsive are the prisoners at the juvenile level and also the adult level to what you're doing? Did you just march in and say, we're doing this, or did you really have to sell it?
I sort of dropped in, but we work developmentally. We play a lot of theater games. We do a lot of improvisation. And through that, I think men and women can go back to their former selves, the better selves, and discover the self they want to be and realize it's within them. So we're encouraging, and we are helping people change through the arts.
Can you track that change?
It's very difficult because we are in prisons one day a week. And even though it's a long day, we are still just one program that they're in. That's one problem. There are other problems with the youth. We have problems of privacy. So we don't have the kind of statistics we would like.
You, the program was featured on NPR's This American Life, as you well know. And I'd just like to advise the audience and you, if you haven't heard, that that program with Ira Glass is going to be put on our website later today, the entire program.
Thank you.
At stlpublicradio.org. Mary Edwards, the producer of the program, says it's the most compelling radio she's ever heard. So people will have an opportunity to hear that. How difficult was it to get into the prisons, to drop in, as you say, and start doing your thing?
I was very lucky because by performing in the city workhouse, I had met Dora Schwerow.
Oh, yeah.
And Dora, soon after that, became director of corrections for the state of Missouri.
Remember her well.
One of the things that she did on her very first day in office was to write me a letter on her Department of Corrections letterhead asking me to come into the state system. So when I told her that I would be happy to, she set me up with the warden at Pacific.
Do you have any knowledge of any of these prisoners having finally been released and gone off and become active in theater in any way?
Yes. One of our alumni, as we call them, has his own television show on the Oprah network, and it's Welcome to Sweetie Pies, which many people have seen, I think. And he's really making a career for himself in the arts and, of course, in the food business.
Yeah, well, Sweetie Pies is well known in this community, no question about that. When the prisoners perform, I'm making an assumption here, do they only perform for each other or are people from the outside coming in?
People from the outside are welcome. We cannot publicize our productions, but if you put yourself on the mailing list at Prison Performing Arts, you will get emails telling you when the shows are, how to register for them, how to get through security, all of those things.
I imagine that's somewhat cumbersome getting into some of these institutions.
It is. If your real name is on your driver's license and you are not known by that real name, you may end up spending the evening in the lobby.
Which is where you don't want to be if there's a performance someplace else. Our guest is Agnes Wilcox. We're talking about her long career. She is going to be honored this Monday at the Chase Hotel. Looking forward to that, and it's well-deserved because it's been a distinguished career. We'll come back and continue our conversation with Ms. Wilcox. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to have you do so by giving us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org. Or if you prefer, send us a tweet at STL on Air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to Agnes Wilcox. Agnes and I were talking during the break, and I said I was resisting the temptation to say that these prisoners perform before a captive audience. Ha ha, you've heard that a million times. But you said something that's very interesting about the way prisoners react to the thespian colleagues of theirs.
Absolutely. Everyone on the housing unit knows that this person or that person is acting in the play. And often they come because they think they're going to be able to mock them, tease them, whatever. And yet they leave with such a great sense of respect for the actors. They also realize that when we do Shakespeare or Sophocles, they get it. And they didn't know that that literature was in reach. They must have gone to the same high school I did, where Shakespeare was really boring. But those plays are not. Those plays are about us. Hamlet is about a guy whose uncle killed his father and his girlfriend's crazy. I mean, we get that.
But why Shakespeare? It would seem to me that that would give you a little bit of a disadvantage going in because they would not necessarily be receptive. There's much other work out there that might be more suitable. Why Shakespeare?
For one, prison is very boring. There is very little intellectual stimulation. So this is a great intellectual challenge. And you can prove to yourself and to others, but most important to yourself, that you are capable of doing just about anything. If you can do Shakespeare, when you get out, you might be able to ace that job interview. If you can do Shakespeare, you might be able to transform yourself. And if you can play a role, when you get out, you can kind of fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. You can pretend you are that better person and get in the habit of being that better person.
Is this your most fulfilling work?
Yes.
Simple yes.
Mm-hmm.
What else, when you look back, makes you think, gee, I wish I were starting again so I could do this again?
At the Pulitzer, across the street from you, I was able to do two different projects with former inmates and homeless veterans. We created scenes about the artwork in an exhibition in the museum. And it was thrilling, not just for us, because we got inside of work we thought we had no access to, but it was thrilling for the audience because they were seeing the paintings or the sculpture through our eyes, and they were different eyes.
Mm-hmm. What pulled you in this direction?
When I was young, I lived in Wisconsin. My mom was on the governor's board of health and social services, and they visited lots of institutions. And she let me come in and see the prison, the women's prison at Tatecheeta, Wisconsin. And I've never forgotten because everyone looked just like me. And I didn't have words for it then, white privilege and all that, mm-hmm. but I knew I wouldn't be there. And they were. And it was probably because I had things they didn't, through no virtue of mine.
Mm-hmm. And that's what started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did it take you once you got to St. Louis to start your work in the penal system here?
It was probably 6 years. Prison performing arts actually began at the New Theater. TNT started taking their shows into various local prisons. And then for a couple of years, the Missouri Humanities Council funded a tour of Missouri prisons, which was amazing.
Hmm.
So that was the beginning. And from there, various inmates said, why can't we do a show?
So they were part of the inspiration in that sense. Hey, come on, bring this material to us. We have a number of callers here. Let's take some calls, and I'll start with Barbara, who I believe has a real connection with your program. Barbara, thanks for being with us. You're on the air with Agnes Wilcox.
Sure. Agnes, be sure to talk about your alumni group that goes out into the community.
Yes. Prison Performing Arts tries to keep in touch with men and women who have left prison. With whom we've worked. We gather one night a week. There are acting workshops and rehearsals. So we are able to perform throughout the city and county for groups who'd like us. The larger the fee, the better we like it. But we have played St. Louis U a couple of times, and Washington U and various women's clubs. It's pretty joyful work.
Large group?
It tends to be around a dozen with people coming in and out because when you get out of prison, you're usually trying to make a living with two or three part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. So getting to rehearsal can be impossible.
You know, you mentioned money a moment ago. I don't want to be crass, and I don't want to sandbag you with this, but it just occurs to me as we talk about the influence of the arts in our community. With all the hullabaloo over a football team and spending $1 billion to build a venue for a football team, how do people like yourself react to that and feel about that when, you know, funding is hard to come by for what you do?
I would like to be able to educate especially community leaders who think that the arts are secondary. The arts, I believe, in St. Louis brought in more money than the football team. A different kind of prestige, I'll grant you. But Friday night, I'm going to the Rep for a premiere of a new musical. People may be coming in to see that new musical. People come in to see the new work at Opera Theater. This community could take advantage of their arts organizations, promote them, and find all of the virtues that come back to the community because of it.
Those virtues would include financial benefits
exactly.
as well, needless to say. Well, thank you for answering that question. I kind of got the answer I thought I might get, and I'm glad I did. I'm glad I asked it. Let's take another call, and we'll bring in Jerry calling from St. Louis. Jerry, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Our pleasure. You know, a lot of women have made extraordinary contributions to the arts in St. Louis, but few as much as Agnes. When you think about the number of offenders in the prisons in which Agnes has worked and PPA generally, it's amazing to me that we don't have greater support in terms of the state realizing that this is a major avenue for these men and women to become healthier members of society. It gives them an opportunity, I believe, to expand their knowledge and interest and demonstrate their skill. And on top of all of that, congratulations to Agnes.
Thank you. I agree with you completely. The arts are everyone's right, and I believe that the arts are an incredibly important part of life. Until we have some way to see ourselves in the abstract, in music, in theater, in dance, we're lacking something.
Jerry, thank you so much for the call. Let's take another one now. This will be Susan calling from Illinois. Susan, thank you for being with us. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. When you were talking about the, well, it's good to hear about your work. It's wonderful. When you were talking about the University of Wisconsin, I thought of one of my favorite writers, Eudora Welty. She also went to the University of Wisconsin. What is it about the University of Wisconsin?
I think it's a place where there's great academic freedom, where there is very high-quality teaching, or at least there was before the current governor began to cut funding. But there, the university takes as its responsibility the education of all the citizens of the state. And that is a concept that gives you perspective on the world and the people around you and gives you a greater responsibility. As an artist, that responsibility may be to write the great American novel, or it could be something like I do. But Wisconsin pushes you and says if you're not doing your best, you're not fulfilling your obligation.
How much writing do you do?
At the moment, I do a lot. I have been going to writers' residencies and am partway through a young adult novel and a nonfiction book.
Well, you've got plenty to do. Are you pulling back in terms of, I know you're stepping back from the prison program, but you'll have some involvement with that still. But are you pretty much pulling back at this time of your life?
Absolutely. I think prison performing arts needs new leadership, which they have in Chris Limber. And I don't want anyone to feel that I am competitive with Chris in any way. I want it to be his game, and he's doing terrific things. I support him completely. I'm an audience member.
You're at work on a young adult novel, you say. Why a young adult novel?
Because I would like young people to have a book about a young man in prison, to see what he experiences, which may help them understand themselves may challenge themselves to change behavior, but may also help them understand people who have been in prison. Years ago, one of the inmates said, "I am not a monster. I did a monstrous thing." And he has gone on to change his life. He has a spouse. He has children. He's made a real life for himself because he knew that inside of him there was not a monster.
You know, you are, Agnes Wilcox, what we call a hyphenate, and I've got the hyphens right here to prove it. You're an activist, professor, actor, and director. What other areas of activism have you been involved in?
Well, I am hoping that I'm going to be able to do a project in Ferguson to make a contribution to that community. I've stepped back to this point because I didn't know how to be useful. Mm-hmm. And how not to feel as if I was taking advantage of the publicity in that community. Mm. I am also hoping to do another project with either or both former inmates and homeless veterans.
So you are not pulling back, obviously.
Not from the work, from the company, which is doing its thing. But yes, that's still my work.
How much did Ferguson hurt St. Louis, do you think? And did it impact the arts community in a positive or negative way?
I don't see that it's influenced the arts community greatly. I think it did great damage to St. Louis. When I'm outside the city and I say I live in St. Louis, they said, "That's near Ferguson." Hmm. I think we are renowned for all the things we don't want to be renowned for.
As you look ahead, what do you think are the main challenges facing your community, the arts community?
Some of them are financial. I believe that the establishment in this city has not supported the mid-size arts organizations in the way they need to. Being mid-size is a terrible position because you're not large enough to have sufficient staff, but you need to be producing product. And that's tough. That takes some of the professionalism away because people are volunteering. So I would like to say to people of means, even if it's small means, consider a small organization. Your money has the greatest impact there.
And there are plenty of such organizations out there, needless to say.
Yes.
I want to thank you so much, Agnes Wilcox, for being with us. Congratulations once again on your Lifetime Achievement Award from the Arts and Education Council.
Thank you. That's
happening on Monday. Well-deserved. And I'm glad to hear that you're going to keep just as busy as you apparently plan to be. But thank you so much for being with us.
I appreciate it.
Coming up, another woman with a solid footing in the arts world, Lynette Roth. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.